Good morning, everyone. I'm not sure if I'm on for children's lesson or devotional, but maybe both. No, someone else is on for children's lesson. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to visitors. Thank you for coming out. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather we have outside. Thank you for your creation, how it reminds us of you. And just pray to be with us this morning. Pray that the words I would say would bring honor and glory to you. Help us to learn from your word and to follow you better. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As most of you know, I do different things for work. I do quite a variety of things. One of the things I do is drive tow truck. And so I'm sort of going to give you a little bit of a tow truck driver's perspective on driving. I remember Linford, I thought about it as I was preparing this. Linford gave a message a while ago about, I think it was titled, How's My Driving? And I don't exactly remember all the details of that. I think it's going to be down a little bit different line. But yes, I'm going to give you a little bit of some stories that relate to driving and how that compares to our Christian life. A number of years ago, I attended a seminar. It was called a TIMS seminar. Traffic Incident Management, Traffic Incident Management, but how we manage traffic during an incident and how to do that safely. And there were some things I learned through that, and really, I thought, you know what, maybe there'll be a message or devotion someday out of this, and here we are today. I struggled with a title, and I don't know if I really fully settled on it. But I'll give you what I have as of now anyway. If someone has something better, go for it. What light are you aiming for? September 15th, 2019, Steve Lapp, the Lapp brothers, had a motorhome that, not Amos Lapp, but the Lapp brothers from Lancaster County that some of you may or may not be familiar with, had a motorhome crash. It ended up in Lamar Wanger's woods. And I was out at that accident, and I heard Steve talk about it later. I believe Steve was the driver. And he shared a story, and again, it kind of clicked in my mind. There's something in this. He said as he was coming down this hill and he was losing his brakes on his motorhome and he knows he's going to crash. He sees nothing but trees and guardrail and woods ahead of him. And he said that he saw this light and he just steered for the light. I don't know how to quite explain all that or what. I mean, he did come down the hill, and he didn't go exactly straight. He did go to the left, but he didn't go hard to the left and roll his motorhome. It did seem like maybe he directed his motorhome in a certain direction by what I could see. But that was his story, as he said, I saw a light, and I didn't know what else to do, so I just drove towards the light. Wherever all we go with all of that, I'm just going to let that there, but I think it does underscore a fact that humans are attracted to light. For better or for worse, we're attracted to light. Mosquitoes are attracted to light as well, and they go around and around and around and around until they're finally in the candle and they burn up. Humans are attracted to light as well, sometimes for worse, sometimes for better, but we are undeniably attracted to light. And we talked about that in the TMS seminar. So I thought I'd just sort of bring a few objects along, and I'm like, well, if people are attracted to light, maybe if I wear a vest, people pay attention. So yes, that is why exactly we wear these vests out alongside the road. People are attracted to light. I you know, triangles, flares, even work lights. I noticed at the beginning of a work zone, if you ever thought about it, and I think, I never heard this for sure, but I'm pretty sure I know why they do it, but they'll put up big work lights right at the entrance of like a cattle chute or a construction zone, and I believe it's to draw your attention into there, because once you're in there, it's dark, and it's like, well, I could use that light now, but why did they put it right at the beginning? To draw your attention, to say, hey, this is where you need to go. They would tell you when you go for your CDL how to properly set up triangles, and a big annoyance of mine as I drive down the road is hardly any truck driver ever sets up his triangles in the proper order. But as you're sitting alongside the road, you're supposed, if your truck is here, it's kind of faint. You're supposed to put your first one here, and then here, and then here. I see people do it exact opposite. I see them putting them in a straight line. And why three? Why do they, and actually it's law to have triangles in your truck with you for an emergency. Why three triangles and why in that order? Because humans are attracted to light, and the triangle is designed to reflect light and to send it back to you. And three is the minimum number that you can have and make a pattern with. Two is not a pattern. Three is the very minimum amount to develop a pattern. And as you follow this pattern, you will be attracted. Drivers are attracted to that light, and they will come and they will go off to the side like that. If it's in a straight line, it's not going to affect them that much. When you put it into an angle like that, it will deflect, because people are starting to see the pattern, and their brain starts putting a triangle right out there, and they will go over and they will move over, because humans are attracted to light. We notice the pattern. Three is the minimum amount for a pattern, and we notice the light and we start to move in that direction. So with all these things in place, why do we have so many accidents that we have? The last I checked, it was a couple years ago, the national average for an emergency responder on the road being struck and killed, not just struck and killed, is about one every week. There's about 50-ish road workers, construction workers. I'm not even sure if they're even counted in there. But tow truck drivers and fire truck, fire apparatus, policemen, emergency responders hit and killed on the highway. It averages out to about one a week. Why? Why, if humans are attracted to light and we have all this light sending people, trying to divert people, why is this happening? Why aren't people being jarred? Why aren't people noticing what's happening? Can they not see? The fact is, they do see. And there's really 90%+ of all emergency responders are hit by a D driver. And they are, the D drivers are, drunk, drugged, distracted, or drowsy. Drunk, drugged, distracted, or drowsy. All four of those drivers start to behave in the same pattern. So if you're ever driving and you're feeling tired, and you just, I just want to go a little bit further, think about it. You're starting to behave in the exact same way, statistically proven, you're starting to behave in the exact same way as a drunk driver. Your patterns start to follow them spot on. The problem with the D driver is they are attracted to light. and they become attracted to light just like a mosquito gets attracted to a candle. They're going to come directly into the incident scene rather than pay attention, see what's going on, and go around it. And I know this. There's no doubt. I've had plenty of firsthand experiences to know that this is true. December 16th, 2021, I was in New Jersey doing a normal tow, supposed to be a normal tow. 11 o'clock at night, I was hooking up in New Jersey to a truck. I towed out a good truck, and I was dropping that truck and getting ready to hook up to the next truck that was broke down. I was 2 foot off the white line. A car going probably about 50 miles an hour rear-ended the truck that I was unhooking. Thankfully, I was between the two trucks. I was between my truck, my wrecker, and the truck that I was unhooking, and I heard a crash. I didn't even know what happened at first until I walked around and shone my light and saw this car smashed badly into the back of the truck. She was drunk. She was stone drunk. She had completely left all lanes. There's a four-lane highway, two lanes were going one direction. She had completely left all the lanes, driven completely off the road, and hit the truck that I was unhooking square as could be in the back end. Why did she completely leave the area she was supposed to be driving and hit me almost in a parking lot, so to speak? Because she was drunk. Because she was drunk, her human nature took over, and she was attracted to the light and drove directly in to me instead of paying attention and moving away. August 24th, 2022, just out here in 78, there was a tow truck driver, his name was Tyler. He was driving a rollback, and he was loading a generator that had blown a tire. It was an odd-sized tire, and no one could find a tire, so they decided to roll back the generator to wherever they were going. And he was loading this rollback, and a driver on drugs going over 100 miles an hour ran into the side of his rollback, killing him instantly and leaving a horrific scene there that I ended up taking his truck away. And that, to look back on that, is probably one of the most sobering scenes that I ever was at, to actually pick up the very chains that he was beginning to tie his truck down and finish his job, because he no longer was alive. Probably about 20 years ago, I went to do a tow job, and it was in a bad spot, just putting it simply. It was in a very bad spot. It was on the road, and I thought, not because people couldn't see it, but because it was a very busy intersection. It was in the middle of an intersection, and I thought, there's got to be a better way. Maybe I can pull it with a chain out of the intersection and then do the bulk of the hookup somewhere else so not to block traffic. So I moved over into a gas station that was opposite side of the road to go talk to the driver. No sooner did I park my truck, and a school bus ran head-on into the back of this roll-off container. It was a flat-nosed school bus, and it took out probably the first four rows of the students' seats there. If there would have been anybody in those seats, there's not a chance they would have survived. There was no exit in the front anymore. They had to climb out the back. Thankfully, there was only about six students on. None of them were injured. They were all back farther in the bus. Why? Distracted. Distracted probably by me, actually. I had my lights on because I was sitting in the intersection trying to figure out what to do, and then decided in a split second to move out of the intersection. School bus driver claims she never saw the truck. I'm pretty sure she probably was following me, going, what's he doing? Instead of watching where she was going. 20 years ago-ish again, I went out for another job, a very sober job as well, where a mechanic in the nighttime was working on a truck along 78. And he was standing beside the truck, and his last words were, start your engine. And right like that, a truck driver had fallen asleep, drowsy, had fallen asleep and rear-ended, sideswiped the tractor trailer that this man was working on and directly hit the mechanic, killing him. And it wasn't because this scene was, well, he had I remember cleaning that up, and I don't know how many flares he had alongside the road, more than I typically use. What happened? A drowsy driver attracted to light. So John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And I was thinking about that. I am the light of the world. That should be so simple. That should be like, this is, I should be able to get right down now and just follow Jesus. All our distractions, all our whatever we have, we can just follow Jesus and we won't have any problems. But it's not that easy. Why? 1 Peter 5:8 actually talks about D drivers. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, don't be drunk. That's literally what it means. Literally or figuratively what it means. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is out there and he's trying to deceive us. First John 4:1 says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Why is this so tricky? What is Satan's tactic? Why should we be concerned? If we're attracted to light and Jesus is the light of the world, what is there to be worried about? 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15. I'm breaking totally in the middle of this, so you'll just have to bear with me. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan is actually out there trying to imitate light. And I actually thought about it. You know, the vest that I'm wearing has reflective. It actually creates no light of its own. It looks pretty bright up here and actually looks pretty impressive. Like, it's reflecting light, but it's not creating any light. This triangle is actually not creating any light of its own. I did forget I brought up a flashlight, but this is actually one of the things that I find the most effective and moving traffic over, sort of stumbled across it. And I won't keep that on because it'll probably drive you crazy shortly. But that is a light source. It is a light source. Satan is not a light source, but he's out there trying to imitate. He's trying to create a distraction where we will be drawn away from it. And we cannot be a D driver. We cannot be drunk. We cannot be drugged. We cannot be distracted or drowsy. And I thought of a couple examples, and move through them quickly here, but I thought of a couple examples of people in the Bible that were a D driver. And I thought of the Joshua and the battle of Ai and Achan, and I'm not, for the sake of the devotion, I'm gonna use alcohol as a good thing. I'm not promoting drinking at all. It does seem like there could be a time where alcohol, we use a lot of times in medicine, just a tiny little bit. We're using it, I think most of us in here, we use it for something of that sort. There is, my wife actually makes homemade vanilla, and she does use alcohol as the solution to put her vanilla beans into. And I can assure you, there's nobody getting, that's such a fraction in any of the cooking and any that we're doing that it's gone. It's not creating an effect at all in us. And we're using that for a purpose. And I think that there is some small uses for such a thing. There is a purpose for some of that. The problem with alcohol, no doubt, I think we'd all agree on, is the overuse of such a thing. And I thought about the Battle of Achan, and they had such a good victory at the Battle of Jericho. The Battle of Jericho, it was such a victorious, such a celebration. And I'm not even, we don't even go this, and I'm thankful we don't go into professional sports and such, but I thought about when they play football, the ones that win, if you've ever seen any pictures or snapshots, when they win a football, in the major leagues, when they do, they will take alcohol, they will pop, and they're spraying this in the air, and the whole team is getting soaked in this. It's a time of celebration. It's a wild celebration, and alcohol is involved. And I just thought, does that happen in spiritual life sometimes, where we have the Battle of Jericho, it was such a wild celebration, and so, and people just lost their heads. They lost what they were. Achan was collecting things he was told not to collect to. Joshua didn't consult with God. He just said, hey, let's go out. And there's nothing about God in going out to the Battle of Ai. They just went. And they lost bad. They lost bad. They were defeated. Why? Was it because they were drunk? Was it because they were drunk with the success, the good success that they had had, and they forgot to worry about, to talk to God about the next thing in life? Drugged. And I thought about Jephthah and how he sacrificed his daughter. If you remember that story. And it was time, a dark time in the children of Israel where there wasn't much God being talked about in the children in Israel. And there was a lot of idol worship and a lot of mixed things going on. And Jephthah, as I would take it, was trying to do what was right and was sought after God and prayed fervently to God and said, I'll sacrifice whatever, whoever, whatever comes through my door when I get back. And at the expense of that vow, he has sacrificed his daughter. It's such a sad story because it seems like someone that maybe was trying to do what was right and yet was totally twisted around, was totally drugged by the influences of the world around them. Distracted. I thought of Eli and Samuel both. We talked about that in a message just recently, how both of them lost their children in life, and both of them lost out as far as raising a family, raising children. Both powerful, influential men, men of God, but yet lost their family, distracted by their own spiritual calling and forgetting their family. Drowsy. I thought about the prophet that was sent to Jeroboam. And he went to Jeroboam to warn Jeroboam of coming judgment. And he was sent back home. And as he was going home, he said, God told me to go straight home. And the other prophet of God said, hey, he said, why don't you come over to my place? No, I'm supposed to go straight home. No, God told me to come here. And that prophet, completely distracted by another prophet, went to that man's house and ended up being killed by a lion because he was distracted. He was drowsy. He probably distracted too. That's the interesting thing of the D drivers is many times there's at least two of them that fit that driver till the whole thing's said and done. When that person has hit and killed somebody, a lot of times they have fallen under at least two of those categories. And you add D on top of D and it really gets bad. So I don't know if I'm going to really apologize over saying that maybe some of those fit the other cat. They probably fit two categories because that's how it goes. One more point here yet. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. And that's why I struggled with the title a little bit because I feel like there's two ways to go with this. The first one is, what light are we following? What are we awake, or are we gonna get sucked right into some deception, some kind of road hazard, or are we following the actual light that we're supposed to be following? But we're also supposed to let our light shine. We're supposed to be a reflector as well. And what light are we shedding around us? You know, the world is full of D drivers. Us as roadside workers know that. It is littered with D-drivers. But I think spiritually the world is full of D-drivers as well. And there's a lot of people that are just going through life totally distracted, totally drowsy, drugged, drunk with whatever is going on in their lives, and they're completely unaware of what's happening in front of them. And in the physical world, I don't want someone to hit me. But in the spiritual world, wouldn't that be great if we attracted some people, if some people got sucked into our light, not even knowing what they're doing, and the next thing they know, they wake up and I'm in church. That can happen. That can really happen. If we are living the light we're supposed to be, we can draw people that are D drivers right into our circles. So, in closing, what light are you aiming for, and is your light shining? God bless you all.